We must run if we are to get inside in time. I grimaced. I'm not in any shape to run anywhere. It would seem you have little choice. I also saw many streaks of light across the front gate. There are black boxes with glass eyes every 70 or 80 paces. They do not see the crumbling place. It is a fortunate position. Cameras, I muttered. Hell. Come, wizard, Tara said, crouching down on all fours. We have no time to waste if you are to join us. The pack can cover the distance in moments, but you must hurry. Tara, I've had a rough couple of days. I'd fall over in about 2 minutes if I tried to run somewhere. The woman blinked passionless amber eyes up at me. Your point? I'm going over the wall right here, I said. Tara looked up at the wall and shook her head. I cannot bring the pack over that wall. They are not strong enough to keep changing back and forth. They have no hands in their wolf form. Just me, then. I guess you all can find me? Tara snorted. Of course, but it is foolish for you to go over the wall alone. And what if the cameras see you? Let me worry about the cameras, I said. Help me up to the top. Then you and the Alpha circle around and rendezvous with me. Tara scowled, the expression dark. I think this is foolish, wizard. If you are too wounded to run, then you are too wounded to go in alone. We don't have time, I said, with a glance up at the moon, to argue about this. Do you want my help or don't you? Tara let out a sound somewhere between a snort and a snarl, and for a moment, tension in her muscles made them stand out hard against her skin. One of the Alphas let out a little whimper and stepped from us. Very well, wizard, Tara said. I will show you the nearest camera and help you over the wall. Do not move from where you land. We do not know who is on the other side of the wall or where. Don't worry about me, I said. Worry about yourself. If there's a good way through the wall, Denton might show up there, too, to go in. Or Mac Finn might. Mac Finn, Tara said, traces of pride in her voice and fear in her eyes, will not even notice that the wall got in his way. I grimaced. Just show me the camera. Tara led me forward through the dark, silent and naked, and looking as though she didn't mind the cold evening at all. The grass was damp, plush, and deep. Tara pointed out the small, silent square of the video camera settled into the wall across the street and almost entirely hidden by the shadows of the trees. I licked my lips and leaned toward the camera, keeping my own form obscured by the bushes. I squinted my eyes and drew in my will, trying to focus. My head started to pound at once, and I felt sweat break out beneath my arms and across my forehead. Hexing up anything mechanical is usually fairly simple. The field of magic that surrounds practitioners of the art plays havoc with the implements of technology. A passing thought on the right kind of day can blow out a cellular phone or kill a photocopier. This was the wrong kind of day. That field of energy around me was severely depleted from its usual levels, and the metaphysical muscles I would normally use to manipulate that energy were screaming in agony, reflected in pain throughout my body. But I needed to get inside, and I really did think that I wouldn't be able to make it all the way around the property. I was running on empty already, and too much more would leave me gasping like a fish out of water and wishing I was home in bed. I forced calm on my thoughts and focused all the energy I had, and it hurt me, starting in my head and spreading out into weary aches in my knees and elbows. But the energy built and built, and with it pain, until I could hold it together no longer. Malevaso, I whispered, and pushed my hand out at the square shape, like a grade school girl throwing a baseball wrong-handed. The power I'd gathered, though it felt like it was about to split me at the seams, rushed out in an almost impotent little hiccup of magic and swirled drunkenly toward the security camera. For a long time, nothing happened. And then there was a flash of light and a tiny shower of sparks from the rear of the box. Smoke drizzled up from the camera in a quavering plume, and I felt a small surge of triumph. At least I had something left in me, even if it was aneurysm causing labor to perform the mildest of tasks. All right, then, I said a second later, my voice somewhat thready. Let's go. We looked around and made sure no cars were about. Then Tara, the Alphas, and I rushed across the road through some decorative leafy bushes to the high stone wall. Tara laced her fingers together to form a stirrup. I put my good foot in it and pushed up hard. She heaved me up and threw me over the wall. I caught myself at the top, saw the car's headlights coming, and swiftly rolled down the other side, falling heavily into damp, muddy earth. It was dark. It was really dark. I was crouched at the base of the wall, underneath a spreading canopy of bare tree branches and stubborn sycamore leaves. Moonlight filtered through in random places, but it only served to make the dark spots all the more gloomy. My own black leather duster was utterly invisible, and I remembered reading somewhere that the gleam of my eyes and teeth would be the most likely to give me away. But since I didn't feel like sitting in the dark with my eyes closed, I didn't. Instead, I crouched and got my confiscated gun ready in one pocket and took my ace in the hole out of the other, getting that ready as well. I shivered and worked hard to remind myself not to be afraid. Then I waited in the darkness for my allies and waited and waited. Time passed, and I knew that a minute would feel like an hour, so I began counting, one number for every deliberate breath. The wind blew through the trees, brisk and cool. Leaves rustled, and droplets of rainwater fell from the trees around me, making little pattering sounds as it struck my new coat. They clung to the leather in tight beads and caught pieces of moonlight in them, brilliant against the black. The smell of rich earth and damp stone rose with the wind, and for a moment it did almost feel as though I was in a forest, rather than on a crime lord's private estate in the north end of Chicago. I took deep breaths, a little comforted by the illusion, and kept on counting, and waited. Nothing happened. No wolves, no sounds, nothing. It wasn't until I got to 100 that I started to get really nervous. My stomach began a slow twist that made weak sensations lace out through my arms and legs like slivers of ice. Where was Terra? Where were the Alphas? It shouldn't have taken them nearly so long to get to the inside of the wall and then cover the distance back to me. Though the estate was huge, the distance surely meant little to the flashing speed of a wolf. The evening had obviously been moving along entirely too smoothly, I thought. Something had gone wrong. I was alone.